Are there reasons not to get married? Hey, Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. You know, a few days ago we talked about this, had a lot of interesting comments. So we thought we'd revisit the topic of when not to get married. I put together a top 10 list of reasons not to get married. Now, let me just say, I believe in marriage. There's power and love and God's intention for marriage, but there are sometimes reasons not to get married, at least to the person that you are right now or the person that you're considering to get married to. So the question is, do you have questions about getting married, or are there some of the top 10 reasons that we've talked about for not getting married that touch your life? We'd love to hear about them. You can call our comment line live right now at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, and go to our story comment line. We have some great calls from our archives from a best of show ready to go for today on the air. But again, we'd love to hear from you on our comment storyline. We love being able to listen to these and put some of them on the air at 888-888-1717. And I'm welcoming back into our studio today my friend and colleague Todd Linneman. Dr. Linneman is a psychologist and a consultant, and he does a lot of work with business and with families and marriage. And he's the founder and president of an organization called Relational Advantage. And Todd, I remember when you founded this, and I know you had a passion for this. And maybe before we get into our topic today, you could take just a minute or so and kind of share with our listeners, what is the Relational Advantage?
Relational advantage occurs, when you have really good self-awareness, you have other awareness, and you know what your strengths and your weaknesses are, and you are willing to utilize those strengths and fix the weaknesses in order to be everything you can be, in order to be the best in partner in a relationship, whatever kind of relationship it is.
Because you really talk about marriage, that obviously comes to mind, but also as in business relationships.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I work a lot with companies who struggle with employees, with team dynamics, as it relates to communication, conflict resolution. And so when people develop these kinds of skills that I just referred to, oftentimes those relationships improve, and therefore performance improves.
Yeah. Good. That's good. Very practical. Let's go to the phone. Let's start with a phone call. We have, is it Simone on the line from New Mexico? Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question today, Simone?
You know, me and my fiance are newly engaged. We've been together 2.5 years, engaged since January, and we attend different churches. In the beginning, we would visit each other's churches together, and just recently, he's shared with me that he's not comfortable coming to mine anymore, and it's kind of threw a wrench into things, into our future plans, because I feel like while I think, what he's, wanting is for, each of us to be able to go to our own church and not together and be able to accept that, and if that would work in the long run.
Yeah, well, we'll answer that in a moment, but what does he not like about your church? What is the turnoff point for him not coming to your church?
It's not a traditional, it's a non-denominational church. It's not your traditional, it's not his, how he was brought up. And so,
is it doctrinal? Is it differences, or is it stylistic? The worship styles?
It's very different. I mean, the religion is different.
All right. So there's doctrinal difference. We're not talking about, I don't like the paint and the building and the pastor. I don't like how the pastor's voice sounds. We're talking about core issues of values and beliefs that are different between you and him.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's when the scripture talks about not being unequally yoked together, that's really what we're talking about. I honestly believe God didn't say that because he said, you people who are my children, we are just better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you shouldn't be around people that are not as good as you are. And that is, I think what God is trying to say to us is this is such a core deep value that you have, who you are in Christ and how you're going to make decisions about money, about kids, about profession, about all the things that you value. You can't have two people in a yoke. That two oxen pulling in a yoke if we're pulling in different directions. So it seems to me, and Todd, what's your thought? It seems to me the fact that we don't want to be in the same church on Sunday is a symptom not the problem itself, but a symptom of maybe something that's more deeply rooted in the relationship, which could be a problem.
Absolutely. And if your faith is important to you, if your relationship with God and how you worship and spiritual intimacy, this is an example of a couple that does not want to say I do until they can honestly and openly work through mm-hmm. this issue. I just had a couple in my office a couple of weeks ago. They agree on most of the, you know, doctrinal tenets, spiritual beliefs that they have, but something came up recently and it's been creating significant conflict for them. And they love each other, but it's creating a wedge between mm-hmm. them and uncertainty for their future. So you're not going to have spiritual intimacy, which is a critical, important part of intimacy in general, without being able to do things like worship together and enjoy that fellowship, that koinonia with other believers in the same community.
I will say this about the your fiancé or this man you're dating, mm-hmm. The integrity of him saying, I don't want to go to your church. You know, there's a lot of guys that frankly say, I'll just keep going to the church and I'll suck it up. And then after we get married, things sort of settle down and we say, nah, I'm not happy here. Better to know now than later to be able to talk about these things with him, because you know what? This isn't only going to be an issue to you. It's going to be an issue to him. It's both sides of this coin. It seems to me that's a wonderful thing to bring up in a counseling session with someone that shares your values. To talk about, hey, this is something that we're just not on the same page, and what is this going to do down the road? I'd get it on the table and talk about it.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's our plan. It's just to seek counseling from a faith-based therapist and let God take the reins from there.
All right. Well, stay obedient to Scripture, and we'll be praying for you. Thank you, Simone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And the fact that she's asking now, it's always better to ask before than after.
That's right.
I always talk about due diligence. From a business perspective, people know if you're going to buy something or you're going to make an investment, you want to do your due diligence work. Find out, what does this mean and is it really what we think it is? And I tell people in the due diligence period, find out every reason not to do it. But after you make the decision and you actually do it, then find every reason to make it work. So, all right, that's what we're talking about today. We're going to take a quick break, be back with more calls, and you're welcome to share your comment at 888-888-1717. Here's a simple thing you can do to improve your relationships. Don't answer until you fully understand what the other person is trying to say to you. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame to him. I didn't say that. That's in God's Word, Proverbs 18:13. So can I encourage you when you're talking to someone to use clarifying questions, and paraphrasing back, getting behind the eyes of the other person, taking time to truly understand what they're trying to say to you. But guard against answering until you fully understand what they're saying to you. So a simple way to improve relationships: don't answer until you fully understand the other person. And when you do that on a regular basis, you're building intimacy and intentionality in your relationships.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And if you just joined us, we're talking about reasons not to get married. Obviously, you can spin that in a positive direction to say, if I am married, these are things to watch out for now that we can deal with now to make our marriage work better. Your comments are welcome at 888-888-1717. Dr. Todd Linneman is here. Todd is the president and founder of Relational Advantage, licensed psychologist, executive coach, and a good friend. And many years headed up our whole counseling ministry through the center here. On my top 10 list of reasons not to get married, Todd, reflecting back on Simone's call, I said, don't get married if you guys don't share the same beliefs, values, life priorities, or a vision for the future. Again, beliefs, values, life priorities, or vision for the future. Opposites attract, but similarities tend to hold us together.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And, it's exciting to have some, wow, they're different than I am. But sometimes the thing that attracts us to another person later on is the thing that drives us nuts and creates the biggest challenge.
That's right. Many times our strengths, especially when they're taken to an extreme, can be our greatest weaknesses, and we see that in marriage. But you can't emphasize enough the importance of having shared beliefs, a shared vision for the future in all of the major domains. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have to work things out. But going into the relationship, you've got to make sure that there are objective strengths and pros, if you will, that will help you to go the distance in the marriage far more than the cons. Yeah. And again, when we're dating, when we're engaged, we have those rose-colored glasses on, and we're not open to seeing things the way they really are.
Mm. All right. Hey, we're going to jump in the deep end of this pool. We got Lisa on the line, wants to talk about really in-law issues, get them resolved beforehand. I think that's where you're going, Lisa. Is that true?
That's right.
All right. Go ahead.
My husband and I have really worked with lots of young couples before they've gotten married, and we've seen that sometimes they don't really deal with issues that they have with their own parents before they get married, and those tend to come right into the marriage, and they don't even think they're going to. And that isn't just in relationally working with them, but sometimes they have had complaints about the way they've seen their, like, for example, a young man might have a complaint, his dad was disconnected and wasn't really engaged in the family and spent too much time on the computer, and he sounded strong and I'm never going to do that. And it turns out, that's exactly the kind of father and husband he turns out to be, because he hasn't really made his own way. All he's done is complain about what his father did. And maybe for the wife, she said, I'm just always going to be submissive. My mother lost her cool, and she would, get really mad, and she would do her own thing and take charge of the family, and I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian woman. I'm going to be the kind of wife I'm supposed to be. But, whatever you grow up with comes to the marriage with you.
Yeah. Well, and that's true. So, we talk about when you're standing in front of the church, it's not just the two of you. I mean, obviously the families are all sitting in the front row looking on, but they're a part of you. They're part of who you are, part of the way you view life, part of the way you were raised. And to discount that would be foolish. I thought you were even going to go further to talk about that can become the in-law issue, a problem later, where one side of the family, the in-laws are saying, why aren't you doing it this way? That's the way we always have done it. And that creates a dynamic as well. But that's a good point, Lisa. Leave and cleave, it's in the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 2:24. Leave and cleave.
That's right.
Big issue.
Absolutely. You've got to have a certain level of independence before you're able to have interdependence with your partner. And there are many people that are still clearly attached to their parents. They listen to their advice more than their spouses. Their opinions matter more. I always tell couples that, when you get married and you go out into the yard, the first tree or trees you're going to plant are the family trees. Mm. And you got to be mindful and aware of the influence. 89% of everything we learn comes through modeling, and it's usually passive process of learning. And so we may say, I'm never going to be like that person, but it can be reflexive. And if we don't have an understanding of the potential influences that parents have had, grandparents even, sometimes siblings, then our eyes are closed to very important information, and it can come back to haunt us sooner than we think.
Yeah, not a lot written on this, and it's an important topic. We're talking about reasons not to get married. We had a call from a young man who was talking about the importance of knowing yourself in this process. And can we play Jordan? He left a comment on our comment line I think is worth camping at for just a moment. Take a listen.
I just wanted to point out a lot of people in high school, like older high school students and younger college students, I feel like they get in a relationship, and it's cool to get in high school. It's cool to get in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But I think as people go into college and the further on they start with a college life, they're trying to base their identity almost off of their partner in a way. And one thing that I realized, like at the end of my senior year, I had dated a couple girls in high school, but I realized I didn't know all the things about myself, and I didn't know my ins and outs well enough to know, how I'm going to treat this girl or whatever. And that can be dangerous if you don't know yourself well enough. And I think that's important when you're going through college and you're going through those first initial years of your life. You know, you got to find yourself first before you can put yourself in a relationship with someone other.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And you're thinking this through. Listen, if we had more young men and women, freshmen in college, thinking like you do, we'd be better off. Because you make a really good point, Jordan. The fact is, by the time you get to be 25, 28, or whatever, you're going to be a different person than you are now. You're going to grow different emotionally, spiritually, and so on. What do you think about marriage as you look to the future for yourself?
I've heard some very good descriptions of marriage, given the way that God intended it. And it sounds like something I would enjoy, and I think it could be something in the future for my life. But right now, I think that, you know, I've got to find out who I am and what I need to do in my life before I give myself fully to another person.
Yeah, you're a smart young man. Jordan's a smart guy. I mean, if we had more young people in their early 20s going to college thinking about, hey, I better know myself before I can be anything to anybody else. I don't even know who I am. People who get married, like Donna and I, we're married young. I was 19, she was 18. God protected us, and the fact that we were so similar in many ways, but that was tough. I mean, we grew up together in many ways. And statistically, that isn't what I recommend.
That's right.
But for us, it's been a great blessing. But know yourself. I think that's really important. If you don't know who you are and deal with your stuff, you're not bringing much to another relationship.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely. I've asked people before, you know, what makes you believe that this marriage is going to be successful if they're in premarital counseling? Or why do you, you know, think that it's a good idea to marry? She loves me. No mention of the needs, wants, and desires, future aspirations. And the truth is that when someone is in their late teens, early 20s, their brain, their prefrontal cortex, isn't even fully developed. And that's where logic and reason and what we call executive function, where decision and making is, and problem solving. So here we are choosing one of the biggest choices in our lives, and we don't even have full brain development to do that. So yes, self-awareness is critically important. Knowing who you are and also liking, respecting yourself, and not getting married because somebody will allow you to finally feel significant or worthwhile. That never works.
Mm. That's good. That's worth the whole time here as we're talking about the value of really thinking about before you get married. And there's a line. We got a line in demarcation here today. Those of you who are single, we're just laying it out. You know, we'd rather have you stop in your tracks and think this through. If you are married, this isn't like an exit plan. This is a matter of saying, hey, I see that now, should have done that, should have learned, but I'm not going to live in the past. What do we do today to be solution focused and be intentional? That's why we're here, to help you think that through.
Hey, this is Jesse. I just tuned in and I've been listening for a few minutes now. It's kind of wild how God works in someone's life. I'm listening to your show on friends outside of the marriage, and it's really heavy on my heart. There's this girl at work, and we share so much in common, and laugh and joke all the time, and I really question whether or not I should stay in my marriage because of the feelings I have for this girl, and this girl has the same feelings for me. It's been heavy on my heart, and I've been wanting to talk to God about it, and I've been praying like, God, what am I supposed to do about it? It's kind of funny your show came on, and I just turned on the radio and you guys saved me. Your show had absolutely just made me say, no, that was an exact answer from God, black and white. I need to just drop this because it's not good. I love my wife. My wife's done nothing wrong to deserve any of this.
Hey, listen, that's why this ministry is here, to help you and encourage us to think intentionally. Todd, you've done a lot of writing. In fact, we've taught on this topic of opposite sex friendships, that comment we had. And if you're not happy in your marriage, you're struggling in your marriage, it's easy to look over and see the grass greener over there and think that's where I should go. Just a word to follow up on what that young man was saying that would be helpful to someone today.
Well, I'm thrilled that he tuned into the program that day because it's a trap that many people fall into. And over time, it's kind of like the frog in the kettle phenomenon. You know, if you put a frog in boiling water, it jumps out immediately. But if you slowly turn up the heat, it will stay in long enough to boil to death. And that's how opposite sex friendships and opposite sex, you know, friendship attraction when you're married can be. We can begin to become disillusioned with our marriage and think that, yeah, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Here's a fact. Here's a truth statement. The greenest grass is always the grass that gets regularly watered and fertilized. And so regardless of the condition of your garden or your lawn today, if you are intentional about making sure that you nurture your husband or your wife with love and respect, in a matter of a short period of time, you'll begin to see the grass grow, the rose bushes bloom, and you enjoy actually spending time in that garden.
That's good. Hey, can you get you back here another day to do that topic? I think we should pick that up and let's put that down on the calendar. Opposite sex friendships, we can spend a couple days talking about that because it's a big issue. And today, especially with the whole thing of with online relationship, people going back to Facebook, finding their old flames from high school, and they look more interesting than they really are. Everybody looks more interesting than they
are. Very true.
Because no one ever puts their worst foot out on social media, that's for sure. All right, we got some more comments that have come in to us. Here's a comment from Andrea from Arizona. Andrea, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I feel like many times you think you're ready, but you really have to trust that God knows the timing. And at that timing, the right person will come into your life.
Mm, that's good. You know, you think you're ready, you know. What are some steps? You've done a lot of premarital counseling. Todd, what are some steps that a person says, I think I'm ready. I think this is the right person. What should they do right in those first early weeks of those feelings and thoughts?
Well, as you begin to get to know someone, you ask a lot of questions, you have a lot of dialogue. Usually there is a lot of self-disclosure. It's not always, you know, completely honest and truthful, but there's a lot of disclosure. I think you are intentional about asking yourself, what is my motivation? It's really the why question, Randy. Why do I want to form this relationship and have it lead possibly to marriage? And if you're really honest with yourself, it can be extremely revealing because there are many motivations that can be legitimate, but they're not at the heart of what really makes a strong, healthy relationship. So I think answering the why question, oftentimes in premarital counseling, when I bring up sensitive subjects, I see a wall go up immediately. They're not ready to talk about that. And what that indicates is fear. It indicates a sense of insecurity, which stands to reason under the circumstance. But for the most part, if you don't answer the question before marriage, you'll be asking it afterwards.
Yeah.
Only you'll be saying, why in the world did I marry?
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Todd, I appreciate you being here today. This has been good. And we'll have you back on a day that you're free to talk about this opposite sex friendship. I think that'll be really powerful.
You know, I remind heart people that our emotions are a good thing. God gives us our emotions. As we've said, the scripture tells us that we're to be angry, but then it goes on to say, but do not sin, Ephesians 4:26. So can I encourage you to remind yourself, if you're a heart person, that your emotions are good, but remember they can cause problems if they're not managed in your relationships. In other words, bring them under the authority of Christ. And when you do that, really, that's intentional living. What's your window to the world? There's three of them. And for some of us, it's a heart. Like you just heard a clip from my teaching on that topic, a heart person. You're sensitive, you're aware, you connect with the world at that emotional level. Others, you know, head people, come on now, you know who we are. We tend to connect around logic, bottom line, thinking, analyzing. And some have a default to hands, you know, meaning behavior, doing something. And of course, God's intention is for all three. We know they got messed up in the Garden of Eden, back in the book of Genesis, through sin and the fall of man and woman, and the impact in our head, heart, and hand. So the teaching this month is on this topic. I'm calling it your window to the world. Obviously, you're not all head or all heart or all hand. We're all three, but we tend to have a default, don't we? We tend to lean in a certain direction. We tend to connect around one way of viewing the world, connecting with other people. This is a very practical, helpful lesson this month, your window to the world. Members, watch for it. It should be coming to you right about this time of the month, both audio and a video copy coming there to your email. And for new members who are joining us, coming to join this journey of intentional living today, we want to get you included in this. And so just come and join us. Your monthly support allows us to get this message out around the world. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon and join us. We'd love to see you pop up on the screen as a new member, and we give you a high five in advance for being a part of the ministry. Again, go to theintentionallife.com, and thank you for your support.
Hello, my name is Danette. What I want to do for my marriage is to thank my husband more often and appreciate him. I find that I always want to dwell on the bad things, and the other night I was talking to him, and I think in my heart I really wanted to start a fight, and I asked him how he feels loved, and, you know, I guess I really wanted to tell him how I felt loved, and his way of giving love is by cooking and doing acts of service towards me. The thing is, he looks so happy, like a little kid, saying, oh, I just love making you food, and I love doing things for you, that all of a sudden my heart was melted, and I was like, I can't believe I was going to pick a fight with you over I wanted you to treat me and love me in a completely different way. And I found myself thanking him and telling him how wonderful. I was so glad that I have him in my life and that he does these things for me. The Holy Spirit kind of making me realize I needed to appreciate him. And that is going to be my intention, to continue to appreciate him and thank him when he does any little thing for me, because it just made us closer that evening, and it was just a wonderful experience, at least for me. I don't think he had any idea, but, well, I guess he felt good because he was smiling. So thank you for your program.
You know, we've talked today, Dr. Linneman and myself, about a marriage, about those of you, to those of you who are not married today, that you would seriously slow it down, pray about it, get good counsel, seek God's wisdom. You know, I often say there's not like a good person and a bad person. If you're not ready for marriage, you're not going to be good for that person either. And so to make sure that for both of you, that this is really God's will. And that begins with good insight, with taking time to pray it through, getting good counsel, and seeking wisdom. This top 10 list of 10 reasons not to get married. And can we get Todd's list up there too? Because Todd, we didn't even get to the long list of things you have that are so practical. Let's get that up on our website as well, so you can think about this. Maybe you know someone that you're working with, praying through about marriage. And if you're thinking about marriage yourself, with you and your spouse, or to be, to sit down and go through this list and just be honest, sharing it with each other, will be available to you at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Thank you for joining us. Again, Todd, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more help and hope for you from our Intentional Living Center. To Stephen, to Sally, and the rest of the Intentional Living team, thank you for your work, and we'll see you next time.